John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13 this morning of John chapter 1. Verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice the capital W, that's Jesus. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John." That's John the Baptist. I said John the... Okay, just wanted to make sure. Verse 7. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Oh, he can save all. "He was in the world..." Such a sad verse. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. God, those two verses are very saddening to me, but I was one that knew it not for many, many years. I was deceived. I was blinded. I was in darkness. But God, finally, I just trusted you and believed you, and you've given me light. I know I'm not perfect, Lord. And I know standing in this pulpit, getting ready to preach the Word of God, God, you've got a sinful servant here. But you've put me here. Now I ask your Holy Spirit power for this task. Help me to do what I know you've told me to do. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I don't know that I'd normally preach this message, but I know God told me to preach this message this morning. And there's going to be three types of people this message is going to affect. Number one, it's going to be people that need this message. It is definitely talking about you. You need to do something about this message. Then there's going to be people that necessarily don't need this message, but you're excited to hear about the remembrance of that Jesus. And then there's going to be some in this room, sad to say, oh, you've heard it before, and it's just kind of gotten old and stale to you. Now, that's the people that's going to be in this room today, but I'm telling you something. And looking around the room today and just what has happened, and God confirmed to me this is what He wanted me to preach. I had several messages I was toying with, and I prayed during the night and through the night. I said, God, now you've just got to let me know if I need to change this. And God didn't let me change this. You know, everyone wants eternal life. Everyone wants, they may not call it heaven, but everyone wants something greater. Even those people that say, oh, I just want to go to the grave and be. But the trouble is, it doesn't happen that way. So everybody wants eternal life. That's obviously, the cosmetic industry obviously shows that. The medical industries, we've got a man that's in the association I call high school basketball. He's a plastic surgeon. He just stays busy all the time. Oh, we want, and most of us in this room, we have on our kitchen table those little vitamins. Why? To keep us healthy. Oh, we want eternal life. We want it real bad. And you know, religion is how people find out about it. Now, granted, some people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm an atheist or something, but being an atheist is a religion. I wrote an article in the paper, I got tired of hearing Dugan Barr saying, don't push your religion on us and da-da-da. I just wrote in there and said, look, it's a religion. Religion just means something you practice. And they practice not believing in God. That's their religion. It has nothing to do with, you know, this Prop 8 thing. It's what people practice. Religion has nothing to do with it. But religion has a lot to do with how people think and what they think will get them to heaven. And there are a lot of religions that are false religions. Matter of fact, there was a preacher one time. His name was D.L. Moody, and many will recognize that name. It's from the Moody Bible Institute up in Chicago. He never pastored the church there where the church is, but he was a great preacher. He was just a down-to-earth preacher. If you've never read any of D.L. Moody's books, you just got to read. His sermons are great. I mean, a simpleton like me can read them and get enjoyment. I loved them. I love him when I read it. And he's a great preacher. You know, one time he said, there are two religions in this world, the do and the done. You know what he's saying? There's two types of philosophy or teaching to get eternal life or heaven. And that is either you work for it or it's a gift. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. If we want eternal life, it's either something that we're going to practice to try to work for it, or we're going to take it as a gift. Our text, and I would like for you to stay there, put something there, but we're going to turn away from this text this morning. But I want you to see verse 12. But as many as received Him, Him is Jesus, the Word, the Light. Notice light in verse 9. That's another synonym for Jesus there, capitalized, just like in verse 1, where the Word was with God. And then it goes down in that pronoun in verse 12, but as many as received Him, that's Jesus, to them. Who's them? The ones that received Him. Look at the next word. What does it say? Gave He power. The word power there means authority or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Ladies and gentlemen, our text in many places through the Bible, you go two chapters over to John 3:16, the most renowned, most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He His only begotten Son. Ladies and gentlemen, There is two religions in this world. There's a right one and there's a wrong one. And the right one is, it's a gift. It must be taken as a gift. It is a gift, and that's all there is to it. In Ephesians chapter 2, and you don't need to turn there, I'll quote it for you. A couple of verses, but in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, many of you know it. It says, for by grace, undeserved, is what grace means. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go back to the first part of that verse that I quoted. For by grace are ye saved. You know, I'm surprised a lot of people really, when they read that, you know, when I visit in the hospitals and when I at jails and I preach in the jails, you know, a lot of those guys that come in there, they have no idea what being saved means. There may be some of you in this audience today that do not know what saved is talking about. What does it mean? That I'm drowning and a lifeboat comes and rescue like that miraculous landing in New York the other day. Man, that was exciting, wasn't it? It was so good to see people walk away and the heroics of that pilot. Wonderful thing. Now, I brought tears to my eyes to see it. It's a great thing. But it's not talking about us being saved like that. It's not talking about being saved from your legal problems. It's not talking about being saved from your financial problems, which most everybody in this room, they're feeling the effects of that. This is talking about being saved from the penalty of our sin. Did you know the Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God? You know, we can't get into heaven because of our sin. Why? Because there isn't a penalty associated when we sin. Well, Pastor Evans, I haven't sinned that much. My friend, it only takes one. You might be Mother Teresa sitting here today, but all it takes is one. And Mother Teresa, I guarantee you, she sinned because the Bible says, for all have sinned. See, we're all sinners. Now, some of us are bigger sinners than others. That's my life verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, for I am the chief. Paul said, I am the chief of sin, and I am. And God saved my soul. He saved me from that penalty. See, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Mark Evans. When 30-some years ago, 1978, I had a list. Boy, if you took and wrote every sin that I'd ever done in those first 21 years of my life, boy, it would stretch from here to the moon probably. Man, it was a big list. I had a lot of stuff in there. But here's Jesus Christ, the Word, the light that came to light every man and the possibility to get saved. Here comes God Himself. He puts Himself in the form of man, takes on the robe of flesh, and comes to this earth, and He's faced with sin just like you and I are faced with. Even probably more intense sin. And He never once sinned. Why? Because He needed to go to a cross and die on an old rugged cross according to what the Bible said He would have to die on a tree. For your sin and my sin to pay the penalty. Because Mark Evans, none of you, but Mark Evans had a list of sin. All it took was one down at the bottom that I had to pay for. Boy, and it's a steep penalty. Revelation 20 verse 14 talks, 24 and 15 talks about it being, the penalty being a lake of fire. We call it hell. A lot of people use the expression and they use profanity using the word hell. They never use the word angel's food. You ever heard of people say, bam, oh, angel food? No, they think of the worst word they can think of. And you better not be doing that. Think of the worst word that you can think of. And they say that word. Why? Because hell is a real place. It's not an adjective, it is a noun, it is a place. And hell is a place where people pay for eternity the penalty of their sin. See, all of us in this room are eternal beings. Those poor kids, Foothill, took their life thinking they were going to bring it to an end. My friend, they're still living. And you know what's sad? There's people in this town that had, a funeral for them. 10 o'clock on Sunday. We got our thinking all mixed up. Get the tape on the church. I taught in Sunday school. See, Jesus never once sinned. Why? So that Mark Evans, approximately September 20th, 1978, could turn and trust that Jesus Christ died for my sin. See, here's Mark Evans, big, big list. Here's Jesus Christ. How many sins on his account? None. Zero. The Bible told me that if I would trust Jesus Christ, that He came and died for my sin, that He would take my sin from me and give me, let me be sinless in front of God because Jesus would pay the penalty. You know what happened? Can I give you just a little synopsis? Real just simple thing. See, when I turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, I trust You, God took my account and He put it on Jesus and let Jesus pay my account. And then God took Jesus' account of sin and put it on my account. That's why a sinner... See, I've been saved 30 years. You do a lot of stuff that's not right in those 30 years that are sins. I've got sins that I probably don't even have. Well, you got to confess your sins. We'll get to that in a minute. You got to do this and you got to do that. No, my friend, that's the reason Mark Evans can stand before an almighty God and be allowed into heaven, because when God looks down at Mark Evans, He sees a record, an account that has no sins on it, because I got Jesus' account on me. God did that. God saved me. That's what this verse talks about when He says that He'll save them in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Turn real quickly to this chapter, though, I'd like, in Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. That way you stay awake. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. Now, just find the ones that are asleep, and you're that third group I talked about. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Boy, if you've heard it so much, then pray for the people that are in this room. Galatians 1:6. Please listen to me this morning. This is vitally important. Eternity lays in the balance for some in this room. Verse 6. Look what Paul says to the people of the church of Galatia. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him, that's Jesus, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Gospel is the good news, Jesus died. Which is not another, He says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. See, that's that D.L. Moody statement. There's two religions in the world. There's do, there's done, there's works, there's gift. See, Galatians, they had that problem back then too. There was a perverted gospel that people said. Let's read on. Verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, and by that was the gospel that I just preached a minute ago about the penalty of sin that we owe and Jesus paying the penalty, and we've got to take and trust Him as our Savior from that. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Now look at it, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Turn to chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Knowing, verse 16, chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justify. Let me tell you something. It is as clear as it can be. There are two types of religions. There is a works religion and there's a gift religion. Which are you this morning? Which is your trust in? Turn to 1 John. 1 John. That's the letters, the epistles of John. Go back right before the book of Revelation. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Look at verse 11. And this is the record. That God... I'll wait a second. A lot of leaves turning there. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 11. page 1325 in your Scofield Reference Bible. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath, what's the next word? Given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Notice it's capitalized. It's another synonym for Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Not hope so, think so, maybe, that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He wrote those two verses before in all the Bible to let us know that we have eternal life if we've accepted Jesus. And then He also wrote them so that we would, if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that we would be saved. That's what the Scriptures are for, ladies and gentlemen. They're to show us whether we are trying to work our way to heaven or we're trying to get there by a gift that God has given to us. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost a thing. It wouldn't be a gift. If you have to pay anything to get it, that's not a gift. If you have to pay anything to keep it, it's not a gift. Unless you mortgaged your house and... Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I got the political thing working today. Until you ask for the gift, you will not receive it. Are you there still in your context? But as many as, what does it say? Received Him. See, we don't have that gift until we receive Jesus Christ, until we accept Him and trust Him. Can I give you an illustration of that? We had a workers' banquet, and we had these pocket calendars where you can keep a day timer in the pocket, and they're out there on the information station. We announced the last few weeks, I didn't announce today, but that they're out there. If you're a worker in our church and you didn't get to come to the workers' banquet, those pocket calendars are a gift from our church to you. Did you know those were given? And I think they're still out there in a box. But you know what? You can know they're out there. You can put some money in the offering the next time the offering plates pass to say thank you for those. You can even believe they're out there. You can even go and look and see they're out there. But it's a whole different thing to go out there and take it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people that sit in church. They've been in church all their life. You ask them, when did you get saved? And they'll tell you, I don't remember. Listen to me. There's two things I do remember. It was the day I accepted Jesus Christ and the day I met that lady. Ask me my kids' name, I'll forget them. Their birthdays, not even a chance. I don't know anything. It's getting worse every day. Somebody said, reminded me of his name, Mark, back here. And because the same name is mine. I couldn't even remember his name, and it's my name. But I'll never forget the day I met Jesus Christ. Why, that affected me like nothing else. My friend, if you're sitting here today, don't let your pride walk by those calendars one more day and not take it. I would not, well, I think I got saved, Brother Evans. Good night. I don't say, well, I think I'm married to that lady down there. Boy, that'd be a world of trouble, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, guys. Did you hear me? Do I need to say it again? I saw some elbows hitting their husbands. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't remember receiving Jesus Christ, you need to take Him. Turn to Romans 6:23, please. It's a very familiar verse. We use it in our soul winning all the time. It's a great verse, but we'll be there. But don't lose your place in John. But as many as received Him. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 23. Look at Romans 6:23, last verse of chapter 6 of Romans. For the wages of sin is death, but what's the next word? The gift of God is eternal life. I want you to see the wording there. I don't know if you're a good English student or not, but I want you to see the wording. I don't even know if any of y'all know what a predicate noun is and all that, but is, are, and all those other verbs are called linking verbs. They link the subject to another word that could take the place of the subject. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. What is the gift? It's eternal life. Do you see that? Of God tells who gave the gift. I don't see Jesus anywhere in there that's the gift. I see what the gift is. Is eternal life. Wow. See, Jesus isn't the gift of God. The eternal life is the gift of God. You look through there, go look up the word gift. Everywhere in the Bible you see it talks about gifts of the Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is a signature. It gives us the eternal life that we need, the light that comes into the world. Jesus Christ died for my sin, and we must accept Him to get the gift of God. The gift of God, my friend, is eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Can I talk about some characteristics of the gift? And we'll be done. Number one, it's an open gift. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him. See, it's open. It's open to as many as. See, if you're sitting here today, I want to tell you some good news. It is open for you. You can have this gift God gave us of eternal life. You can have it. It does not restrict anybody. You say, but Brother Evans, you don't know what I've done in my life. I know what God did for us in sending Himself in the form of Jesus Christ to die on the cross to pay the penalty of my sin. Yes, I don't know what you did, my friend, but I know what God did. And He said, but as many as received Him. As anybody. Where we were in in Romans 10:13, in the chapter 10 of Romans, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an open gift. It's open to anyone. Can I give you another characteristic of the gift? It's an optional gift. What do you mean? You can take it or leave it. God does not come to us and say, but He's been doing so much good in church all these years, and He's listened to the preaching, or she's been here, and look at all she did. Let me go down here and let me give you a gift of eternal life. No, 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 it's not that way, my friend. It's got to be you and me and whosoever, and but as many as that come and receive Him. I said receive Him. I said receive Him. See, the trouble is a lot of us in this room, I'm afraid, not a lot, maybe not a lot, but that may be an exaggeration of term there. But there's people in this room that it's up to you. You think it's up to you. You think it's what you do and your actions in your life. And you're just hoping that God won't keep His word instead of receiving Jesus Christ and doing it the way God says. It's a sad thing. You know the story about the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa. And Apostle Paul, one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard preached, read preached. And he preaches. And Agrippa says, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. My friend, today, don't be almost persuaded. Please don't. No one will embarrass you. Every one of us have done this that have truly been saved. And we are proud of it, and we let people know it, that we've been saved. I promise you. See, there's a penalty to pay. We've got to be saved from that penalty. God provided the way to be saved. It's through Jesus. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Can I give you another characteristic of the gift? It's a once gift. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. It's easy to find. It's right before 2 Peter. Thank you. Come find the book of James. If you can find that, then you're getting close. Just keep on going to the right. Look at 1 Peter. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Doggone it. I said I was going to have y'all out at 12 o'clock. I was really going to impress you and do a good work, and it's all right. Don't even look at your watch. Don't look there, but it's later than 12. I was going to have you out, I thought for sure, with a simple message. 1 Peter 3:8. Hey, there's no hurry when you're dealing with eternity now. Please, please now stay with me. Don't let my jovialty, my lack. I am compassionate about this. I know God wanted me to preach this simple message. Verse 18, for Christ also hath, what's the next word? Once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. People say so many times, you know, it's a once gift, ladies and gentlemen. It's a gift you take and you only have to take one time. I hear so many people say this statement, it may be you. Well, I pray every night for God to save me. See, there's some problems with that. Turn back toward the front, Genesis. Go to the book of Hebrew. Let me show you another just scripture to get this. I want to seal this and show you some other. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Microphone. What happened there? Fall asleep? You just hit it when you fell asleep up there, Brother Kellogg? Okay. Thank you. Lord, maybe that's the Lord saying style. Okay. So, well, I definitely know it didn't come from there. First, look at it. Hebrews chapter 6. Then look at, where did I say? Did I say, yeah, look at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible, it's just not going to happen, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly, what does it say? Now listen to me. I just showed you from the scriptures in Romans 6:23 that the gift is eternal life. A lot of people are confused. They think Jesus is the gift. No, 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 no. He's the means to get the gift. The gift is eternal life. It says so right there in Romans 6:23. Gift is eternal life. Of God tells who the gift came from. It's a prepositional phrase. No, gift is eternal life. Now look what this says. For those who have, that's going up too high. Something's weird. Look at it right here, or either this is on, that's what the problem is. Am I off here? Oh, I got you. Okay. That's why it's going up. Who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That only happens when a person gets saved. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, it's impossible. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. My friend, once you get saved, you can't go back and get saved again. That would, Jesus would have to go back to the cross and suffer the shame again. Listen to me. Listen. When a person says, well, I just want to make sure, that tells, there's a few problems there. Number one, that tells me you truly didn't trust that He would save you. You say, well, I'm just kind of a doubting Thomas. Has nothing to do with it. Do you trust him? That's what it means. It's real simple. You've got to trust him. And if you're praying and saying, Lord, save me again, you're saying, I don't believe you, God, and what you told me to do to be saved. Or you didn't ask the right person. It scares me when I hear people and I ask them, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? And they say, oh yeah, I know. How do you know that, ma'am or sir? And they say, because I trusted God. Go back to Romans 6:23. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. That's Father's thing. I'm just doing what God told me to do. And there are people that have truly not done what God said to do. Did you hear what I said? God said to do to be saved. Please don't let years in church affect your decision to do what God said. Romans 6:23, look at it again. For the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty of sin we talked about. Wages, the cost of sin is death. Not physical death, spiritual death, that lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life. But there's some more in that verse, isn't it? Says it's through Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Brother Evans? I trusted God. I've been in church all my life. Even longer you've been saved, I've been in church and all. My friend, do you do what God said to do? Or do you do it the way you want to do it? Because my Bible says it's through Jesus Christ. And if you cannot remember asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you, my friend, I'm just trying to warn you today. God's not going to change his eternal book for your sincerity. I'm just being honest with you this morning. God laid this message on my heart. There's people in this room, and you know, and your heart's beating and thumping right now, it could beat a band, because you know you can't remember when you personally asked Christ to save you, or you've been doing it over and over and over because you truly just didn't put your trust in him, and you're trusting your prayers to save you, because that's what you're doing when you keep asking. What do you do? You trust Jesus Christ that he died for your sin and ask him into your heart so that you can know on February 1st, what a great day to remember, February 1st, 2009, I received Jesus Christ and did what the book said. It's a once gift. And by the way, when God gives you something, he won't take it back. Well, I believe you can lose your salvation. Do you have any children? So your children turns out bad and they go off and hold up a 7-Eleven and shoot somebody and kill somebody. Are you going to say that's not my son? Now, you might say it, but they're still your son. God created. We were created in the likeness, in the image of God. You think God would create an image of a, and then create a home and an image like that, and then we become his sons, and we have sons and daughters through our physical marriage, and they're our sons no matter if they're good, no matter if they're bad. They're our sons no matter our daughters, no matter what. And then all of a sudden God creates a salvation, says you can become, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and then you become saved and God says, I'm going to change everything. No, my friend, it's a once gift. When you trust him, you got it. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, change in mind. Hath he said and will he not do it? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If I did what God said, He won't lie to me about it. He won't change His mind about it. But we've got to do it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please.